This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
The Bible uses different images to describe what it means to follow Jesus in our life. One particular image is comparing it to running a race, the race of faith. Sometimes we start so strong and then we falter and struggle along the way. So, how does the follower of Jesus finish strong? Stay with me and see what one biblical writer has to say about that. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you this day for your goodness and grace. We thank you for the gift of life, the gift of your presence in our lives. We give you thanks and praise for Jesus and what he did for us at the cross and at the tomb. We thank you, Lord, that we have such wonderful promises as believers in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we give our thanks and praise. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Our reading for today is from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Here ends our reading.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Dear friends, I have two stories to share with you. Story number one. This man was a rising star in church circles. He was creative, skilled in the pulpit, energetic, hardworking, had lots of charisma. His church, which he had started in the suburbs, was growing in leaps and bounds. The sky seemed to be the limit for his ministry. Years later, though, things had changed. The man who was considered a spiritual dynamo and who had been so on fire for Christ's cause was now struggling, sluggish, thinking of actually leaving the ministry. His church, plateaued in growth, was doing all right, but he certainly wasn't. People who knew him intimately just scratched their heads and wondered, what happened? He started so strong, but he seems to be finishing so poorly. His ministry is in crisis. Story number two. This young lady was so on fire for Jesus. She gave her life to Christ at that Young Life camp and committed to following him the rest of her life. She was involved in her church, so enthused, talkative about her faith. That was many years ago. You'd never recognize her now. She's rather lukewarm about her faith. She's not connected to a church community. She's living with a guy. And quite honestly, not sure who she is anymore or what she really believes. She started so strong. But now, what happened? These are not uncommon stories in the life of the Christian church. Strong starts, poor finishes. And it's really nothing new we learn as we read in the New Testament. We have another case of this being addressed in a New Testament letter written to a group called the Hebrews. The readers of this letter were once so passionate and so on fire for the Lord Jesus. But now it appears from what we read, you just read the entire letter, that they have slackened a bit and grown weary in their faith life. They had started so strong, but seemed to be finishing so weak. Their old love for Christ Jesus had cooled. They were suffering an acute case of spiritual lethargy. A spiritual sluggishness had reached crisis proportions, and it was making them easy prey to falling away from the faith. How did these things happen? Or should I say, how do these things happen? As we study the letter, we find the answer. They started strong, but they had stopped growing in their faith walk. As you read through this letter, the writer continually is pointing out things with a sense of alarm to their arrested spiritual development and stunted spiritual growth. They seem to be stuck at a level of beginner, babes in the faith, and they did not really seem to care about such things as learning and maturing in their discipleship walk with Christ. It's interesting. A few years ago, a leadership expert, author Robert Clinton, wrote a book in which he listed six reasons why leaders in this world started strong but often don't finish well. He pointed to pride, abuse of power, abuse of finances, sexual failures along the way, problems in the social base, such as family issues. And last, he listed plateauing. They had stopped growing in their lives. Scripture, you see, consistently tells us that God intended for Christ's followers to grow and mature in their relationship with Jesus. And when we don't, it can lead to some spiritual disaster in our lives. We don't finish well. And in this letter, the writer attempts to get these people moving again. As you read through it, he sounds like a coach or a passionate teacher, encouraging them, admonishing them, exhorting them. Come on! Come on, keep at it. Let us do this. Let us do that. But don't quit. Don't stop. There's more to be done. In fact, in our reading for today in Hebrews 12, he even tries to inspire them by using an image from the world of athletics to describe their life of faith with Jesus. It's like running a race. And he's saying, you've got to, let's keep at it. Let's finish. Well, how does one grow so that we can finish well? And he has some things that are really helpful for us in this passage I read for you earlier. First, he points out to what he's been talking about before this chapter. He says, therefore, since we have this great cloud of witnesses, you see, the writer has been referring to what some people call the faith Hall of Fame, chapter 11, where he used the greats of the faith like Moses and Abraham and Sarah, the people of faith who ran their race and finished well. He holds them up and says, remember these stories. Let them inspire you and how God used them, how God carried them and took care of them through their lives as they ran the race of faith. You know, we need to remember those stories. In my church right now, we're working our way through the Old and New Testament, doing a whole year of studying the Bible together. And it's amazing, the stories and how we can find ourselves in these stories as we watch God working in the lives of these individuals, such as are in the Hall of Fame of Faith in chapter 11. But then our writer goes on to say, so having that as our background, knowing that, let's even do more. Let's keep running our race. And then he gives instructions And he says the first thing we need to think about doing is losing the weight. In those days, when Olympic runners ran in the marathons, they traveled lightly. In fact, they didn't carry anything at all. In fact, many ran naked, I am told. He said, let us lose the weight. We can't be carrying things. You've got to travel light if we're going to run a good race and stay strong and grow. He said, let us lay aside every weight, he says. Things in life that maybe clamor for our allegiance and our attention, those things that distract us or drain our energies and time, those things that may not be sinful in themselves, but we place such priority upon them that they almost become like idols in our lives. What are those things that perhaps need to be let go of or looked at from a different perspective in the light of your relationship with God? He says, let us lay aside those things. Put them in their proper place. Let us run the race lightly. And then he goes on to say, and there's sin in your life that clings closely and entangles you, and that needs to be let go of as well. There are things in life that you just need to walk, need to let go. Sin. Do a personal inventory, he seems to be saying. What are those things that are messing me up? Is it drinking? Is it my pride? Is it a lack of self-control in areas of my life? Are there priorities that are taking the place of God? Lose the weight, he says. Travel lightly. The second bit of instruction he gives is, and let us run with perseverance. The word is literally with endurance. He's talking about running with an attitude of endurance and patience that bears up even under tough challenges. Like the marathon runner who's running that long course. You know what lies ahead. You know you're going to hit those hills. You know if there are things that are going to come up. But you're committed and determined to complete the race. We need to keep in mind that the race of faith, of following Jesus Christ, is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon, a long-distance race that requires sustained effort of a long-distance runner who keeps on with great determination over the long course of time. There's a fellow named John Piper, and I like some of the things he writes. And he, in one of his articles, said something that I grabbed onto. He wrote, we need to be coronary Christians, not adrenal Christians. Not that adrenaline is bad. Piper says, it gets me through lots of Sundays. But it lets you down on Mondays. The heart is another kind of friend. It just keeps on serving through good days and bad days, happy and sad, high and low, appreciated and unappreciated. It never lets me down. It never says, I don't like your attitude, Piper. I'm taking a day off. It just keeps humbly lub-dubbing along. Piper goes on to say, coronary Christians are like the heart in the causes they serve. Adrenal Christians are like adrenaline, a spurt of energy and then fatigue. What we need in the cause, he says, of racial justice and justice for the unborn is coronary Christians, marathoners, not just sprinters, people who find the pace to finish the race. Let us run with perseverance, the writer said, committed, determined to endure all obstacles. And finally, he says, not only do you travel lightly, not only do you travel with the spirit of perseverance and endurance, but he goes on to say, and let's keep looking to Jesus as we run. The pioneer and perfecter of our race, the original runner who for the sake of the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and went the whole distance for us. Looking to Jesus, he says. We keep looking to Jesus, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus. First of all, for inspiration. As we look to Jesus, we look at what he went through and how he handled it with faith. We remember how God then raised him on Easter, and how Jesus sits exalted at the right hand of God in power. And the same God who took care of his son Jesus Christ, who ran the race to carry out the plan of salvation for you and me, is going to lift you up. And you will be exalted as a child of God, raised to be with him in eternity. He says, look to Jesus for strength. Consider, as you look at that cross, how much you've been loved. Look what Jesus Christ endured for you in order to make you a sinner his own. Paul writes in the book of Romans, God's for us. He who did not hold back his own son, will he not also with him give us everything else? We turn to that Jesus and we look at that cross and we say, my, how he loves me. I am loved. And we find strength in that love and that grace. And finally, we looked at Jesus for help. We remember that he's the risen one, that he's with us. And we can look to him as dependent children. Look to a loving father or mother and call upon his name. There's a wonderful story. It gives us a picture of this. In the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, there was a runner in the 400 meters. His name was Derek Redmond from Great Britain. He had trained and trained to run this race to get that gold medal. And it looked like he was running a good race and maybe was going to realize his dreams. But as he entered the back stretch of that race, Derek Redmond was sent sprawling across the pavement by the ripping pain of a torn hamstring muscle. By an act of sheer will, he struggled to his feet in his pain and began hopping toward the finish line. Suddenly, a figure came out of the crowd, broke past the security guards, and ran onto the track. It was Derek Redmond's father. And in a voice choked with emotion, he threw his arms around his son and he whispered, come on, let's finish this together. And the crowd cheered and they wept as they watched the father half carrying his wounded son jerkily down the stretch and across the finish line. That's the picture, a picture for us. The one who comes alongside, let's finish this together as we call upon him. To fix our eyes on Jesus is to call upon him in prayer. To fix our eyes on Jesus is to get to know him as we read those narratives over and over and over again as I tell my congregation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, get to know him there. You'll be amazed at how close you'll get to feel towards Jesus. And three, keep using your mind to imagine that finish line and the one at the center of the crowd of witnesses waiting to greet you there, Jesus saying at the end, good run, good and faithful servant. And the writer then finishes his thought by saying, as you run lightly, as you run with perseverance, as you look to Jesus, you will not lose heart. You will not grow weary. You will finish well. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may you finish well by traveling light, traveling with perseverance, and keeping your eyes fixed on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
wonderful things, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Let's pray. Lord, help us to finish strong in our race of faith as we follow Jesus. You know the many obstacles, the disappointments this life sometimes brings us. You know how easily distracted we can become along the way. You know the things that weigh us down and entangle us. Help us to travel more lightly for You, to persevere in all circumstances, and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, so that our lives may glorify You and shine for You in all that we say and do in this world. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way. May He go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you His peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we prepare to offer our thanksgiving to God in this coming week, we pray you have been strengthened in your faith walk by today's program, and that you will experience safe travels as you journey to be with friends and loved ones. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or some other occasion. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. CDs and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a gift to cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 75th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.